Good evening.
You're doing well?
Oh, very much better now. Thank you. And you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well. But you handled the storm well, I take it.
Yeah, I'm good. There's no storm over here at all. We don't even have rain. We're 3.5 hours from the location of where the storm, the eye wall, went into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who join this call that they live in Lake Charles. So most of them evacuated. One even into the San Antonio area, but, you know, I haven't really gotten full reports about what happened to each of them, so.
And I haven't.
It was hard for me to recognize your voice because I didn't hear that, you know, I know you identify yourself, but not everybody does, and I came second, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's just a great time because I had the time. I've been going nuts. Normally, I have guys leaving now, and I'm having to clean, which I am doing so now while I was waiting after we got done on our call.
Understood.
Yep.
Well, normally I wait for two people, but because of what's been happening with the storm the last 2 days, I haven't really had any classes because one person would arrive, but not two. So I'm going to do this class, and I know you're going to have some questions. The basic idea of the Deeper Zohar class is it's like a Chavruta program where you delve into it because you ask questions. Without the questions, there's no growth. So it's real important that people ask questions.
And this is a continuation from the earlier class, I gather, too.
No, this class is a continuation from a class from yesterday or now from, you know, from Monday. We're now starting section 20 on Parashat Vayera from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. And this is the first Pasuk in section 20. So do you want to look it up and get it in front of you?
Yeah,
or?
I'm doing so right now, and maybe we'll get somebody else too, whichever. I'm game. So
you never know. There can be people coming in the next couple of minutes. If they do,
right.
If not, if you feel uncomfortable, we could just read it and then talk about it, and I won't put it up, and I'll redo it with other people when they arrive tomorrow or the next day, or it'll be next week.
Okay, which I'm good with any. I'm just trying to get
When you get the site up, you know. While you're doing that,
this would be under revealed wisdom, right?
Yes, it's revealed wisdom, and then the matrix. It's the first row, the right hand column, and when that opens up, you scroll to Vayera, which is like the third link.
Well, the first row, right hand column,
is for all.
That's under Zohar recordings.
Right.
Okay, that's what okay. And then the 20. I'm looking for...
Vayera is like the third or fourth link.
And number 20.
Yes.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay.
Which one?
250. Right, the first one.
Okay.
We'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkite Bitki Lurchimu Ukilu Ukilu Urchimu Leachda L'shem Yudhei Bavate V'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah la soctoran spa. Vahino amadunayalo hino alena masaya de no canane, alena masaya de no canane. I want to mention a couple of things before I start reading. One, I rarely look at the title of a section because the title is something that was made up by the people in the Kabbalah Center. So it's not, it leads you in a direction that maybe it'll limit some of those 70 different understandings. So I try not to do that. And the same thing applies to the synopsis, because it's telling you the summary, but it's pointing you in a direction that they have, as opposed to when you hear it, it may be totally different to you. And so I recommend you read the synopsis, but not until we finish the section.
Okay.
But once in a while, I will feel that the synopsis will be beneficial, and then I will bring it earlier. So that's just so you understand the idea behind what's going on. So I'll begin to read. Wahashem im tir al sedom v'al amora v'gomer rabbi chiya patachinei yom Hashem v'achzari v'gomer hine yom Hashem ba. Dabe dina letata ba kima de itmar haba elai begin de live aved dinad al benatel rosho kega egavna da kets obasar balifanai. Translation. Next is the verse, and Hashem rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. Rabbi Chiya opened the discussion with the verse, "Behold, the day of Hashem comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger." Behold, the day of Hashem comes alludes to the earthly courthouse, which refers to the judgments that issue from Malchut during the time when she is at the stage of illumination from the left, before being combined with the central column, which is called the decree of judgment. Comes as explained in reference to the phrase, which has come to me, which means that she always comes at the beginning of every union. Which has come to me is so because it does not execute judgment before it enters and receives permission. The same is explained by the verse, "The end of all flesh has come before me," which means that it came to ask for permission. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. This pasuk is defining code words and phrases. But this is also what we discussed with Robert yesterday, was that when I was explaining how the spiritual system works and what is the role of Satan. He has the two roles. One role is to test you, to try and incite you to do a negative action. And the other is to, once you've done the negative action, he goes and accuses you as the prosecutor in the front of the court. And that's what this verse is talking about, in front of the court. Now, do you have any questions or comments or thoughts that you'd like to express?
Yeah, I was just rereading, "Behold, the day of Hashem comes and leads to the earth, the courthouse refers to the judgment that issued from Malchut during the time." What is the she? Who is the she here?
She is the Shekinah.
Okay.
She is the Shekinah. The Shekinah is the female aspect of God. That's the intellectual explanation.
Right. right? But it comes from the left before it combines with the central column, which is interesting. It comes from the Bura from the left into the center.
Each of the Sephirot is either a right column, a left column, or a central column, except for Malchut. Malchut is framed, it begins as a left column, but through the revelation of light and the cleansing of the physical world by the human beings, Malchut is moving to become the central column. It will never be a right column, but it starts in the left and moves to the center. Everything else is set by the way it was created as the tree of life, as the three columns. But Malchut is different. Malchut was left, but as the human being purifies Malchut, cleanses the physical world by cleansing each person cleansing themselves, and purifying themselves and changing their midot, their characteristics, it moves Malchut to the center.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
It might be very lengthy, but when was it on the left exclusively?
At the beginning of creation. That was the reason why it had Chava sinned.
Oh, before Hava and Adam sin? Okay.
Yes. The influence of the world. Remember that after the sin, God punished Adam for what he did. It punished Chava for what she did. It punished the snake for what it did. But
right.
It also punished the earth.
Ah! I cursed the earth with bristles, thorns, and thistles. So
exactly.
That's where it went to the left?
That's where it became more left, correct.
So was it ever in the center?
Was it ever in the center? I've not heard whether it was in the center before they sinned or not.
Okay.
I haven't heard from a teacher, so I hesitate to say.
Okay. That's fair enough.
But it's clear that most people, when they read the verse, oh, God punished these four things. But what was the sin of the earth? Why was it punished?
Yes, why was that?
Well, the Midrash basically says that the trees and the vegetation that came forth from the earth was to come forth so that the taste and the pleasure you receive from the fruit of the tree, you would also get from the branch of the tree, from the trunk of the tree. The tree would have been one unified whole, not separated items. And with that understanding, That's what the thing that the earth did wrong, because it did not follow Hashem's command completely. It brought forth the plant life in a separated way. First, there was a trunk. The trunk grows into a branch. The branch grows into leaves. The leaves grow into the fruit, and they're all separated items, meaning they're different sephirot. But Hashem didn't want anything separated. He wanted everything completed, everything whole. So the issue becomes, that's why it was cursed. But it's also because it did that, then the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and the tree of life that it brought forth was not brought forth properly. And that influenced Adam and Eve to sin.
Ah. Okay, well, then I have another question.
Go ahead.
And I have had this question for a long time, and you're more than, I'm sure that you will say, I don't want to answer it if you don't want to. But I have confusion in like the Nachash. So we have, in some places I've seen Samael, I have seen Hallel, I have seen the certain Nachash, the devil, whatever name you want to call it. But he works for Father. He was created by Father. He is an emissary of Father. He is there as an accuser, and he's there to tempt you, or, you know, backwards, or however
yes.
you want to do it.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, he works for Father. So isn't at the end of the day, when you go up the chain of command, Father's sending him to do that? So it's Father's will? So Father is the one being accusing you? Or am I being heretical here?
No. That's in a heretical statement. Although there is no heretical statement, it's all part of learning. There are multiple levels of Hashem. There's only one Hashem, so how can there be multiple levels? If we are at the level of Hashem looking down on the creation, we see that one whole, there's only one creation. Everything in the creation is created by Hashem. That includes the Satan, that includes the Nachash, it includes the positive and the negative. But we are looking at Hashem from below. And so we see different levels of Hashem, different attributes of Hashem. Because as a physical person, we cannot perceive the totality of Hashem. We can only see parts of Hashem at a time. So we call those attributes. There's the attribute of mercy. There's the attribute of love. There's the attribute of restraint. There's the attribute of judgment. We see different attributes looking up. So the way the system works, Hashem, the one Hashem, the totality, created the Nachash with a job, or a double-edged job, one to tempt you and two to accuse you. Those levels, those attributes, in order to give you free choice, Hashem cannot be the totality. To give you free choice, the Satan and Hashem need to be at the same level. Otherwise, you would know. If you knew that Hashem is on a higher level, if you experienced it, he's on a higher level, you'd never follow the Satan. You'd never be tempted. So Hashem lowers himself. So whatever spiritual level you are at, Satan is at that level. And Hashem lowers himself to be at that same level. And so when you look, what you hear in the voices in your head, do this good thing. No, don't do that. Do this lustful thing. You're listening to these two voices. You hear them at the same level. And that's why Hashem lowers himself. So he appears to us at the same level that Satan is appearing to us, which is the same level that our spiritual level has reached. Now, when we say no to Satan, we choose that the Hashem, we grow spiritually. And what happens is Satan grows to the level we have now become. And Hashem lowers himself to that new level, not as far as he did before. But we always are perceiving the two forces as being equal.
Okay.
When you reach the level of being righteous, a tzaddik or a tzaddeket, it's still the same thing. The Hashem is at the same level that Satan is. And you have grown spiritually. Satan has gone, made it more difficult. Each level you grow, the test is greater. It's more difficult. But it's always, you're seeing Satan and Hashem at the same level. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It goes well with the flow. So with this pasuk, if the tree doesn't have a neshama, nor any other level, it has a nefesh. So why would it curse it? And wouldn't it kind of obligate it then?
The tree doesn't have just the nefesh. It also has a ruach.
But it doesn't have a neshama.
The tree of life has a neshama. The tree of
But I'm talking about the tree that didn't grow all the fruit and all its parts. Back to what we were talking about, you know, with the at the earth or in the Adam and in Chava and Adam.
Right, but that tree was not brought forth with the neshama. It was brought forth only with the ruach. But Adam
so it didn't have all the understanding. It didn't have a higher understanding then.
Correct. But it influenced the level of emotions.
Ah, it was still at that level of Adam and Chava at that time.
Correct.
No, it would have been lower than them.
Vegetables are always lower than humans. So yes, it was lower, but it was significantly higher than the vegetables that are on our earth today.
True. It has a higher vibration, for sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Stella.
And you see, we've run out of time.
Yes, we have. Okay. Thank you so much.
But now you see how this class works, because with the questions, we can go into really deep levels.
Right.
And you get all those questions that you've always been asking that didn't get answers. The Zohar actually jogs your emotions and your intellect so that you reach for those questions, you reach for those answers.
Yes, and I appreciate you entertain them for me, for sure, and helping me out with them. No one ever has.
But this is what I'm here to do. This is why I have become a teacher of the Kabbalah.
Very lovely.
Always remember, I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm a student of Kabbalah, just like you.
Okay. Maybe someday you'll explain to me the difference. Sometime.
You have a beautiful evening.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Now, if you're interested, I don't know if you're up that late, but at 9 o'clock your time, tonight is a Zohar class. It's a regular Zohar class for the Parasha of the week, which is Ki Tetzeh. So we're going to be studying section 17, but you'll see the difference between a regular Zohar class and the deep Zohar that we do at the 6:30 time.
Okay. I think I can make it today. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. All right. See, and it's 9 o'clock my time or your time?
Your time. Normally,
okay,
I would just
you.
Say the West Coast time, but because it's just the two of us on the call, I'm saying it. So for the people who hear the recording, we're talking about the 7 o'clock West Coast time class.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Shalom. You be well.
Shalom. You as well. I hope.